What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roman, and guys, I hope you all are having a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Guys, I decided to come on here just because a lot of you guys wanted me to talk about Daniel Jones, which really is surprising because for the past week, a lot of you guys were clamoring about me not talking about Saquon Barkley, you know, but you guys wanted me to talk about Daniel Jones, and that's what I'm about to do. So we got some of you guys are asking me, Justin, what will Daniel Jones do for an in core in 2023? Well, I mean, looking at what the Giants offense looks like as a whole, I think it's very obvious to say that there is a really good opportunity that this guy he's finally gonna have the chance to play behind an actual offense. You know, like, for years, you guys heard me say this, you know, ever since he got drafted, I said, if he's not given a good offensive line, if he's not given a good wide receiving core, if he's not given a good head coach, if he's not given a good offensive coordinator, then there's reasons why he's struggling. And a lot of Giants fans went at him saying he sucks because, oh, he's turning the ball over. Oh, Daniel Jones, he's a turnover machine. Well, that's the reason why. I don't care what quarterback you are. You could give me Aaron Rodgers. You could give me one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You could give me Tom Brady. You could give me Josh Allen. You could give me Patrick Mahomes. As much respect I have for all those quarterbacks, no quarterback, and you guys know this, no quarterback will be able to succeed if he doesn't have the right pieces around him. And Daniel Jones didn't have that, and now he does. And now we're gonna see if we get a different version of Daniel Jones going into next season. Daniel Jones took a Giants team to the playoffs. And what was the reason? Good coaching and players stepping up. That was really the only reason. You know, and I feel like now that Daniel Jones, he's getting Mike Kafka back as the offensive coordinator. You know, he's getting some of, you know, the Giants re-signed some of the players, you know, from last season. They re-signed Darius Slayton. You know, they found a way to get Sterling Shepard back on a minimum friendly deal. They went out and got Darren Waller, who, when healthy, we all know, is the next great tight end behind Travis Kelce. You know, I loved what I saw from Daniel Bellinger. You know, I loved what I saw. You know, I just loved how, even though the Giants didn't have an all around great skill set of players, we still found a way to score points, and that was our problem right there, is finding ways to score points. And now we have the pieces that we have the pieces that can help us go down the field and score points. You know, not only that, the offensive line has been one of the biggest issues for this franchise for ever since the 2016 season, you know, the Giants, we have struggled year after year to find what was making this offense, what, like, for years, like, it's been years for this franchise to find even one thing that was going wrong with this offensive line. First it'll be the injuries, then it'll be picking up the wrong players. It was both. You know, why do you think the Giants changed? Why do you think we changed the field? Because a lot of people have been assuming that the field that the Giants play on is causing injuries. That's why a lot of Giants fans wanted the turf. That's why a lot of Giants, not just Giants fans, Jets fans as well, because the Giants and the Jets play in the same stadium. You know, Giants and Jets fans, they wanted new turf. You know, and that's what happened. The Giants announced that they're gonna put new artificial grass, which is great, because maybe that was probably the answer that was causing all of those injuries. Look at if this offense can stay healthy, the Giants could make a deep run, because we have the talent. The offensive line's gonna get better. We drafted John Michael Schmitz, who is one of the best center prospects in the draft. You got Evan Neal at left tackle, who I think Evan Neal is gonna take. Evan Neal right tackle. I think Evan Neal is gonna take a big step forward. You got Andrew Thomas, who is clearly one of the best. He's one of the best and youngest left tackles in the league. The Giants' offensive line is getting better, and obviously the guard position is set. I really don't have a lot of worries about the guard position. I think Mark Lewinsky is gonna win the left guard position. The right guard position is the biggest question, but like I said before, I do believe Ben Bredesen will show up. I saw a lot of good things from this guy last season. I think Ben Bredesen could win the left guard job, and so this offense, the Giants offensive line is gonna get better. Obviously there's no excuses for Daniel Jones. The Giants do have a tough schedule. But this is, like I said before, guys, like, this is what makes a team better, by putting them in tougher situations against really good teams. Look at Daniel Jones. What I'm trying to say is this. Daniel Jones, he has job security. Now he must justify it. That's what he needs to do. There's no longer a debate over either Daniel Jones is the New York Giants quarterback of the future. Joe Shane put the franchise tag in Daniel Jones' hands this offseason with a 4-year, $160 million contract. So Daniel Jones, he's gonna be here for a while. Now Daniel Jones, he has to award the team's faith in him by improving upon his 2022 campaign. Look at this guy. He's 6'5", 230 pounds. He's only 26 years old, 5 years of experience. Former general manager Dave Gettleman and famously selected this kid with the number 6 overall selection of the 2019 NFL draft, bucking consensus opinion and anointing Eli Manning's successor. 4 rocky years later, this guy led the Giants to their first playoff win since 2011, and was rewarded with a massive contract. So the question is, how did we get here? Well, it's simple. Daniel Jones had his moments through his first 3 seasons, but ultimately did little to live up to his draft status. Daniel Jones, he was promising in 12 games as a rookie, but in the next 2 seasons, he never threw for more than 3,000 yards and never had more than 11 touchdown passes, though he missed time both years due to injury. The Giants ranked 31st in points per game both times. Daniel Jones also struggled with ball security and seemed to have difficulty processing the field in front of him. I feel like the excuses were just as common as the criticisms. Daniel Jones rarely had continually, this guy really had continuity with his coaching staff as the team cycled through head coaches and offensive coordinators. The offensive line continuously was getting worse. It was getting worse each time. And the wide receivers weren't much better. Overall, it was impossible for a lot of Giants fans, or in other words, onlookers, to tell what this franchise had in this guy. It was difficult for the Giants brass as well, who declined Daniel Jones' 5th-year option so they could evaluate him further. I was reading an article that was projecting about Daniel Jones, he would still be on the Giants entering the 2023 season. All 5 participating writers predicted that he would not be with the Giants going once the 2022 season was over with. Instead, this guy, he turned in his best season yet and led the Giants to a 9-7-1 record. He set career highs in 3,205 yards. His completion percentage was amazing. He threw 67.2% of his passes and had a passer rating of 92.5, all while improving his decision-making and pocket awareness. A new system under head coach Brian Daboll and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka also allowed Daniel Jones to take the next step as a runner. His 708 rushing yards were 5th among all quarterbacks. Not only that, he cut down on the turnovers that had plagued his career. As a rookie in 2019, this guy had 12 interceptions and a league-worst 19 fumbles in 12 games. He had only 6 fumbles and 5 interceptions last year. It's possible his interception rate of 1.1% is unsustainable. It led the NFL and was the best ever by a Giants quarterback, but it leaves room to regress towards the mean without issue. Of course, that low turnover rate came with the caveat of throwing short passes. Daniel Jones, guys, he had an average depth of target of 6.42 yards past the line of scrimmage last year. That was lower than anyone except Matt Ryan. But Daniel Jones, This guy, he was still asked to take more risks under Mike Kafka than with offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. And things should only open up more for Daniel going into 2023 with better receiving options in his second year in the Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka offensive system. Obviously, the expectation is that Daniel Jones will turn in another career year in 2023. Anything less will likely be met with heavy criticism, fair or not. You know, right now the media consensus is that Daniel Jones is an average to slightly above starter who still has more to prove, obviously. You know, NBC's Chris Sims has Chris Sims from NBC. He has Daniel Jones ranked as the league's 11th best quarterback. Pro Football Focus has him at number 17. Pro Football Network ranks him number 14. You know, look at obviously not just the New York Giants organization, but us Giants fans, we're all hoping that new tight end Darren Waller will prove to be the best receiver Daniel Jones has played with so far. You know, successful seasons, you know, from second year right tackle Evan Neal and rookie center John Michael Schmitz would also go a long way towards helping Daniel take the next step. But I think, I feel like what Daniel Jones needs to truly silence his doubters is more performances. Like, you know, like the one he performed in that huge wild card victory over the Minnesota Vikings. You know, games where the Giants win primarily because they have Daniel Jones on their team. You know, because, I mean, when you look at the media, if you watch ESPN, if you watch CBS, everyone, they don't mention Daniel Jones' name. They mention Saquon Barkley, and I understand. And I'm not taking anything away from Saquon Barkley. Saquon is a generational talent. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. But we're not in those days anymore where running backs, you know, control the game. We're in a quarterback's league now. You know, and if you want to win now, it has to be done by the quarterback. You know, just like how people say nowadays, it starts with the quarterback and it ends with the quarterback, you know? And I feel like if Daniel Jones can take another leap this year, I feel like the media is going to put some respect on Daniel Jones' name and this time mention his name, you know, and say that this guy, he can get you somewhere. I don't know if it's somewhere like the Super Bowl, but I believe in my heart of hearts that this guy can bring you somewhere. Either it's to the NFC divisional, NFC championship game. He could bring you somewhere. You know, Daniel Jones, guys, he was so close to making it to the NFC championship game. But those Philadelphia Eagles got in the way, you know. But you know, look at Daniel, he must take the next step as a pure pocket passer. You know, he's not overly reliant on his legs, but you know, obviously mobility is a factor in his success. And it's not just Daniel Jones. You see other quarterbacks do it. You see Lamar Jackson do it. You see Kyler Murray. You see Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Like, every quarterback you see is very mobile. The Giants ranked last in the NFL last year with 28 passes of 20-plus yards. Obviously, that's not enough for a franchise quarterback, and it's not enough to keep winning close games. So that's all I got to say about that. You know, so to answer your question, Daniel Jones do for an encore in 2023? I believe he can. You know, I believe he can because I feel like ever since he was drafted, the first thing I said, and I don't think I was on my podcast when I said this, I said, I'm gonna give this guy a shot. I want to see what he can do, you know? Because, and I said this before, what's so crazy is that everyone likes to look at the top quarterbacks, the ones that get drafted in the first round. I'm not trying to throw shade at Bryce Young. I like Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young is going to do a lot of, I think he's going to do a lot of great things in the NFL, but this is just my opinion. And it's this, you know, and actually this actually has happened. When you look at top quarterbacks that get drafted, usually when a lot of people see the top quarterbacks getting taken in the early first rounds, a lot of people like to assume, oh, this guy is it. This guy is going to take this team to the Super Bowl. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's going to go to 10 Pro Bowls. But in reality, they don't do that. And you know, it's so crazy. The quarterbacks that get drafted in the later rounds, those are the ones that are meant to be successful. Those are the ones that are meant to go to... to go to the Pro Bowl every year. Those are the ones to get MVPs, to get Super Bowls. Ben Roethlisberger, who's now retired, no one drafted Ben Roethlisberger. And someone finally did. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Big Ben, I think he was like the 300th pick, I forgot. But Ben Roethlisberger was the last player draft. He was the last player off the draft, off the board. And when Big Ben entered the league, he surprised a lot of people. He took the Steelers, I believe, to 3 Super Bowls. Big Ben is a six-time Ben Roethlisberger. He's a six-time Pro Bowler, a 2-time MVP, a 3-time Super Bowl champion. Big Ben Roethlisberger. No one cared. No one had any faith in Ben Roethlisberger. And this guy went into the league and he showed up. You know, same thing for Daniel Jones. Is Daniel Jones a top 10 quarterback? No. But don't let numbers make you think that you're a scrub. Just because you're not a top 10 quarterback doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't mean anything. You know, because there's a lot of greatness. There's a lot of good things when it comes to being the later round pick. You don't have to deal with the pressure. You know, you have time to show people what you can do. Daniel Jones, he didn't have time. He was put in a tough situation. He was playing with the Giants team that didn't have any weapons whatsoever. No head coach, no offensive coordinator. He was thrown in a tough situation. And look at him now. Every Giants fan that booed him on draft night, they were cheering for him when he took the Giants to the playoffs. You know, they were chanting MVP. MVP. They were chanting Daniel Jones MVP. That's why I always say never judge a book by its cover. Never judge a player just because he's coming from a bad college. When Eli Manning got drafted, no one had faith in Eli. You know, but look what happened. Eli took Eli, look at we could say all the things we wanted to say about Eli, but Eli Manning is the savior of the NFL because, unlike Nick Foles, Eli Manning beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Not once, but twice. Why do you think Tom Brady hates the Giants so much? It's because we were the only team to beat him in the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to take anything away from that New York Giants defense that had Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, OC and Amiura. You know, all those guys. So all I'm saying is that if Eli Manning can do it, so can Daniel Jones. That's all I'm saying. I'm excited. And I'm just very excited to see on how much better he's going to get. You know, he's finally getting something that he was never given for the past four years now. And that's good. What that is a good supporting cast. I'm excited. Yeah, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Let me know how you guys feel about my long talk about this topic. I appreciate the question you guys gave me. I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants, so stay tuned. But until then, guys, I am out. Peace.